3. What sort of worries? Surely not these trifles. He nodded towards the manifesto. I can bring you as many of them as you like. I made their acquaintance in X-Province.
You mean at the time you were staying there?
Of course, it was not in my absence. I remember there was a hatchet printed at the top of it. Allow me. He took up the manifesto. Yes, there's the hatchet here too. That's it, the very same.
Yes, here's a hatchet. You see, a hatchet.
Well, is it the hatchet that scares you?
No, it's not, and I am not scared. But this business, it is a business. There are circumstances.
What sort? That it's come from the factory. But do you know, at that factory, the workpeople will soon be writing manifestos for themselves.
What do you mean?
Von Lembke stared at him severely. What I say? You've only to look at them. You were too soft, Andrei Antonovich. You write novels. But this has to be handled in the good old way.
What do you mean by the good old way? What do you mean by advising me? The factory has been cleaned. I gave the order, and they've cleaned it.
And the workmen are in rebellion. They ought to be flogged, every one of them. That would be the end of it.
In rebellion? That's nonsense. I gave the order, and they've cleaned it.
You are soft, Andrei Antonovich.
In the first place, I am not so soft as you think. And in the second place...
Von Lembke was piqued again. He had exerted himself to keep up the conversation with the young man from curiosity, wondering if he would tell him anything new.
Ha-ha! An old acquaintance again, Pyotr Stepanovich interrupted, pouncing on another document that lay under a paperweight, something like a manifesto, obviously printed abroad and in verse.
Oh, come, I know this one by heart. A noble personality. Let me have a look at it. Yes, a noble personality it is. I made acquaintance with that personality abroad. Where did you unearth it?
You say you've seen it abroad, von Lembke said eagerly.
I should think so. 4 months ago, or maybe 5.
You seem to have seen a great deal abroad. Von Lembke looked at him subtly.
Pyotr Stepanovich, not heeding him, unfolded the document and read the poem aloud.
A noble personality. He was not of rank exalted, he was not of noble birth. He was bred among the people, in the breast of Mother Earth. But the malice of the nobles, and the Tsar's revengeful wrath, drove him forth to grief and torture, on the martyr's chosen path. He set out to teach the people freedom, love, equality, to exhort them to resistance, but to flee the penalty. Of the prison, whip, and gallows, to a foreign land he went, while the people waited hoping, from Smolensk to far Tashkent, waited eager for his coming, to rebel against their fate, to arise and crush the Tsardom and the nobles' vicious hate, to share all the wealth in common and the antiquated thrall of the church, the home and marriage, to abolish once for all.
You got it from that officer, I suppose, eh? Asked Pyotr Stepanovich.
Why, do you know that officer then, too?
I should think so. I had a gay time with him there for 2 days. He was bound to go out of his mind.
Perhaps he did not go out of his mind.
You think he didn't because he began to bite?
But, excuse me, if you saw those verses abroad, and then it appears at that officer's...
What, puzzling, is it? You are putting me through an examination, Andrei Antonovich, I see.
You see, he began suddenly, with extraordinary dignity, as to what I saw abroad, I have already given explanations, and my explanations were found satisfactory. Otherwise I should not have been gratifying this town with my presence. I consider that the question as regards me has been settled, and I am not obliged to give any further account of myself, not because I am an informer, but because I could not help acting as I did. The people who wrote to Yulia Mikhailovna about me knew what they were talking about, and they said I was an honest man. But that's neither here nor there. I've come to see you about a serious matter, and it's as well you've sent your chimney sweep away. It's a matter of importance to me, Andrei Antonovich. I shall have a very great favour to ask of you.
A favour? By all means, I'm waiting, and I confess with curiosity. And I must add, Pyotr Stepanovich, that you surprise me not a little.
Von Lembke was in some agitation. Pyotr Stepanovich crossed his legs.
In Petersburg, he began, I talked freely of most things, but there were things. This, for instance, he tapped the noble personality with his finger, about which I held my tongue, in the first place because it wasn't worth talking about, and secondly because I only answered questions. I don't care to put myself forward in such matters. In that I see the distinction between a rogue and an honest man forced by circumstances. Well, in short, we'll dismiss that. But now that these fools, now that this has come to the surface and is in your hands, and I see that you'll find out all about it, for you are a man with eyes, and one can't tell beforehand what you'll do, and these fools are still going on, Well, the fact is, I've come to ask you to save one man, a fool too, most likely mad, for the sake of his youth, his misfortunes, in the name of your humanity. You can't be so humane only in the novels you manufacture, he said, breaking off with coarse sarcasm and impatience. In fact, he was seen to be a straightforward man, awkward and impolitic from excess of humane feeling and perhaps from excessive sensitiveness. Above all, a man of limited intelligence, as von Lempke saw at once with extraordinary subtlety. He had indeed long suspected it, especially when during the previous week he had, sitting alone in his study at night, secretly cursed him with all his heart for the inexplicable way in which he had gained Yulia Mikhailovna's good graces. "For whom are you interceding, and what does all this mean?" he inquired majestically, trying to conceal his curiosity. Damn it! It's not my fault that I trust you. Is it my fault that I look upon you as a most honourable and above all a sensible man, capable, that is, of understanding? Damn!" The poor fellow evidently could not master his emotion. "You must understand at last," he went on. "You must understand that in pronouncing his name I am betraying him to you. I am betraying him, am I not? I am I not? But how am I to guess if you don't make up your mind to speak out? That's just it. You always cut the ground from under one's feet with your logic, damn it. Well, here goes. This noble personality, this student, is Shatov. That's all."
"Shatov? How do you mean it's Shatov?"
"Shatov is the student who is mentioned in this. He lives here. He was once a serf, the man who gave that slap."
I know.
Lempke screwed up his eyes. "But excuse me, what is he accused of?
Precisely, and above all, what is your petition?"
"I beg you to save him. Do you understand? I used to know him 8 years ago. I might almost say I was his friend," cried Pyotr Stepanovitch, completely carried away. "But I am not bound to give you an account of my past life," he added, with a gesture of dismissal. "All this is of no consequence. It's the case of three men and a half, and with those that are abroad you can't make up a dozen. But what I am building upon is your humanity and your intelligence. You will understand, and you will put the matter in its true light, as the foolish dream of a man driven crazy by misfortunes, by continued misfortunes, and not as some impossible political plot or God knows what." He was almost gasping for breath.
"I see that he is responsible for the manifestos with the axe," Lempke concluded, almost majestically. "Excuse me, though, if he were the only person concerned, how could he have distributed it both here and in other districts and in the X-province? And above all, where did he get them?
But I tell you that at the utmost there are not more than 5 people in it. A dozen, perhaps. How can I tell?"
"You don't know?"
"How should I know, damn it all?"
"Why, you knew that Shatov was one of the conspirators."
Pyotr Stepanovitch waved his hand as though to keep off the overwhelming penetration of the inquirer. "Well, listen, I'll tell you the whole truth. Of the manifestos I know nothing, that is, absolutely nothing." "Damn it all, don't you know what nothing means? That sub-lieutenant, to be sure, and somebody else, and someone else here, and Shatov, perhaps, and someone else too. Well, that's the lot of them, a wretched lot. But I've come to intercede for Shatov. He must be saved, for this poem is his own composition, and it was through him it was published abroad. That I know for a fact, but of the manifestos I really know nothing.
If the poem is his work, no doubt the manifestos are too. But what data have you for suspecting Mr. Shatov?
Pyotr Stepanovich, with the air of a man driven out of all patience, pulled a pocketbook out of his pocket and took a note out of it.
"Here are the facts," he cried, flinging it on the table.
Lempke unfolded it, and it turned out to be a note written 6 months before from here to some address abroad. It was a brief note, only two lines.
"I can't print a noble personality here, and in fact I can do nothing. Print it abroad."
Lempke looked intently at Pyotr Stepanovich. Varvara Petrovna had been right in saying that he had at times the expression of a sheep.
"You see, it's like this," Pyotr Stepanovich burst out. "He wrote this poem here 6 months ago, but he couldn't get it printed here in a secret printing press, so he asked to have it printed abroad. That seems clear."
"Yes, that's clear. But to whom did he write? That's not clear yet," Lempke observed with the most subtle irony.
"Why, Kirillov, of course. The letter was written to Kirillov abroad. Surely you knew that."
"What's so annoying is that perhaps you were only putting it on before me, and most likely you knew all about this poem and everything long ago. How did it come to be on your table? It found its way here somehow. Why are you torturing me, if so?"
He feverishly mopped his forehead with his handkerchief.
"I know something, perhaps," Lempke parried dexterously. "But who is this Kirillov?"
"An engineer who has lately come to the town. He was Stavrogin's second. A maniac, a madman. Your sub-lieutenant may really only be suffering from temporary delirium, but Kirillov is a thoroughgoing madman. Thoroughgoing, that I guarantee."
"Ah, Andrei Antonovich, if the government only knew what sort of people these conspirators all are, they wouldn't have the heart to lay a finger on them. Every single one of them ought to be in an asylum. I had a good look at them in Switzerland and at the congresses."
"From which they direct the movement here."
"Why? Who directs it? 3 men and a half. It makes one sick to think of them.
And what sort of movement is there here? Manifestos! And what recruits have they made? Sub-lieutenants in brain fever and 2 or 3 students. You are a sensible man. Answer this question. Why don't people of consequence join their ranks? Why are they all students and half-baked boys of 22, and not many of those? I dare say there are thousands of bloodhounds on their track, but have they tracked out many of them?
7.
I tell you, it makes one sick."
Lempke listened with attention, but with an expression that seemed to say, "You don't feed nightingales on fairy tales."
"Excuse me, though. You asserted that the letter was sent abroad, but there's no address on it. How do you come to know that it was addressed to Mr. Kirillov, and abroad, too, and that it really was written by Mr. Shatov?
Why, fetch some specimen of Shatov's writing and compare it. You must have some signature of his in your office. As for its being addressed to Kirillov, it was Kirillov himself showed it me at the time."
"Then you were yourself?"
"Of course I was myself. They showed me lots of things out there. And as for this poem, they say it was written by Herzen to Shatov when he was still wandering abroad in memory of their meeting, so they say, by way of praise and recommendation, damn it all. And Shatov circulates it among the young people as much as to say, this was Herzen's opinion of me."
"Ha ha!" cried Lempke, feeling he had got to the bottom of it at last. "That's just what I was wondering. One can understand the manifesto, but what's the object of the poem?"
"Of course you'd see it. Goodness knows why I've been babbling to you. Listen, spare Shatov for me, and the rest may go to the devil. Even Kirillov, who's in hiding now, shut up in Filipov's house, where Shatov lodges too. They don't like me because I've turned round. But promise me Shatov, and I'll dish them all up for you. I shall be of use, Andrei Antonovich. I reckon 9 or 10 men make up the whole wretched lot. I'm keeping an eye on them myself, on my own account. We know of 3 already. Shatov, Kirillov, and that sub-lieutenant. The others I am only watching carefully, though I am pretty sharp-sighted, too. It's the same over again as it was in the ex-province. 2 students, a schoolboy, 2 noblemen of 20, a teacher, and a half-pay major of 60, crazy with drink, have been caught with manifestos. That was all. You can take my word for it, that was all. It was quite a surprise that that was all. But I must have 6 days. I have reckoned it out. 6 days, not less. If you want to arrive at any result, don't disturb them for 6 days, and I can kill all the birds with one stone for you. But if you flutter them before, the birds will fly away. But spare me Shartov. I speak for Shartov. The best plan would be to fetch him here secretly, in a friendly way, to your study, and question him without disguising the facts. I have no doubt he'll throw himself at your feet and burst into tears. He is a highly strung and unfortunate fellow. His wife is carrying on with Stavrogin. Be kind to him, and he will tell you everything. But I must have 6 days. And above all, not a word to Yulia Mikhailovna. It's a secret. May it be a secret?
What? Cried Lembke, opening wide his eyes. Do you mean to say you said nothing of this to Yulia Mikhailovna?
To her? Heaven forbid! Eh, Andrei Antonovich! You see, I value her friendship, and I have the highest respect for her, and all the rest of it, but I couldn't make such a blunder. I don't contradict her, for as you know yourself, it's dangerous to contradict her. I may have dropped a word to her, for I know she likes that, but to suppose that I mentioned names to her as I have to you or anything of that sort. My good sir, why am I appealing to you? Because you are a man, anyway, a serious person with old-fashioned firmness and experience in the service. You've seen life. You must know by heart every detail of such affairs, I expect, from what you've seen in Petersburg. But if I were to mention those two names, for instance, to her, she'd stir up such a hubbub. You know, she would like to astonish Petersburg. No, she's too hot-headed. She really is.
Yes, she has something of that fougue, Andrei Antonovich muttered with some satisfaction, though at the same time he resented this unmannerly fellow's daring to express himself rather freely about Yulia Mikhailovna. But Pyotr Stepanovich probably imagined that he had not gone far enough, and that he must exert himself further to flatter Lembke and make a complete conquest of him.
Fougue is just it, he assented. She may be a woman of genius, a literary woman, but she would scare our sparrows. She wouldn't be able to keep quiet for 6 hours, let alone 6 days. Eh, Andrei Antonovich, don't attempt to tie a woman down for 6 days. You do admit that I have some experience in this sort of thing. I mean, I know something about it, and you know that I may very well know something about it. I am not asking for 6 days for fun, but with an object.
I have heard... Lembke hesitated to utter his thought. "I have heard that on your return from abroad you made some expression, as it were, of repentance. In the proper quarter?
Well, that's as it may be.
And, of course, I don't want to go into it, but it has seemed to me all along that you've talked in quite a different style about the Christian faith, for instance, about social institutions, about the government, even."
I've said lots of things, no doubt. I am saying them still. But such ideas mustn't be applied as those fools do it, that's the point. What's the good of biting his superior's shoulder? You agreed with me yourself, only you said it was premature.
I didn't mean that when I agreed and said it was premature.
You weigh every word you utter, though. You are a careful man, Pyotr Stepanovich observed gaily all of a sudden. Listen, old friend, I had to get to know you. That's why I talked in my own style. You are not the only one I get to know like that. Maybe I needed to find out your character.
What's my character to you?
How can I tell what it may be to me? He laughed again. You see, my dear and highly respected Andrei Antonovich, you are cunning. But it's not come to that yet, and it certainly never will come to it. You understand? Perhaps you do understand. Though I did make an explanation in the proper quarter when I came back from abroad, and I really don't know why a man of certain convictions should not be able to work for the advancement of his sincere convictions. But nobody there has yet instructed me to investigate your character, and I've not undertaken any such job from them. Consider, I need not have given those two names to you. I might have gone straight there. That is where I made my first explanations. And if I'd been acting with a view to financial profit or my own interest in any way, it would have been a bad speculation on my part, for now they'll be grateful to you and not to me at headquarters. I've done it solely for Shartov's sake, Pyotr Stepanovich added generously. For Shartov's sake, because of our old friendship. But when you take up your pen to write to headquarters, you may put in a word for me, if you like. I'll make no objection. Adieu, though. I've stayed too long, and there was no need to gossip so much, he added with some amiability, and he got up from the sofa.
On the contrary, I'm very glad that the position has been defined, so to speak.
Von Lembke, too, got up, and he looked pleasant, obviously affected by the last words.
I accept your services and acknowledge my obligation, and you may be sure that anything I can do by way of reporting your zeal.
6 days. The great thing is to put it off for 6 days, and that you shouldn't stir for those 6 days. That's what I want.
So be it.
Of course, I don't tie your hands and shouldn't venture to. You are bound to keep watch. Only don't flutter the nest too soon. I rely on your sense and experience for that. But I should think you've plenty of bloodhounds and trackers of your own in reserve.
Ha ha!
Pyotr Stepanovich blurted out with the gaiety and irresponsibility of youth.
Not quite so, Lembke parried amiably.
Young people are apt to suppose that there is a great deal in the background. But, by the way, allow me one little word. If this Kirillov was Stavrogin II, then Mr. Stavrogin too.
What about Stavrogin? I mean, if they are such friends.
Oh, no, no, no. There you are quite out of it. Though you are cunning, you really surprise me. I thought that you had some information about it.
Stavrogin.
It's quite the opposite. Quite.
Avis au lecteur.
Do you mean it? And can it be so? Lembke articulated mistrustfully. Yulia Mikhailovna told me that from what she has heard from Petersburg, he is a man acting on some sort of instruction, so to speak.
I know nothing about it. I know nothing. Absolutely nothing. Adieu. Avis au lecteur.
Abruptly and obviously, Pyotr Stepanovich declined to discuss it. He hurried to the door.
"Stay, Pyotr Stepanovich, stay!" cried Lembke. "One other tiny matter, and I won't detain you."
He drew an envelope out of a table drawer.
"Here is a little specimen of the same kind of thing, and I let you see it to show how completely I trust you. Here, and tell me your opinion."
In the envelope was a letter, a strange, anonymous letter, addressed to Lembke, and only received by him the day before. With intense vexation, Pyotr Stepanovich read as follows. Your Excellency, for such you are by rank, herewith I make known that there is an attempt to be made on the life of personages of general's rank and on the fatherland, for it's working up straight for that. I myself have been disseminating unceasingly for a number of years. There's infidelity, too. There's a rebellion being got up, and there are some thousands of manifestos, and for every one of them there will be 100 running with their tongues out, unless they've been taken away beforehand by the police, for they've been promised a mighty lot of benefits, and the simple people are foolish, and there's vodka, too. The people will attack one after another, taking them to be guilty and fearing both sides. I repent of what I had no share in, my circumstances being what they are. If you want information to save the fatherland and also the church and the icons, I am the only one that can do it, but only on condition that I get a pardon from the secret police by telegram at once, me alone, but the rest may answer for it. Put a candle every evening at 7 o'clock in the porter's window for a signal. Seeing it, I shall believe and come to kiss the merciful hand from Petersburg, but on condition there's a pension for me. For else, how am I to live? You won't regret it, and it will mean a star for you. You must go secretly, or they'll wring your neck. Your Excellency's desperate servant falls at your feet. Repentant free-thinker incognito. Von Lembke explained that the letter had made its appearance in the porter's room when it was left empty the day before. So what do you think? Pyotr Stepanovich asked, almost rudely.
I think it's an anonymous skit by way of a hoax.
Most likely it is. There's no taking you in.
What makes me think that is that it's so stupid.
Have you received such documents here before?
Once or twice. Anonymous letters.
Oh, of course, they wouldn't be signed. In a different style? In different handwritings?
Yes.
and they were buffoonery like this one.
Yes, and you know, very disgusting.
Well, if you had them before, it must be the same thing now.
Especially because it's so stupid. Because these people are educated and wouldn't write so stupidly.
Of course, of course.
But what if this is someone who really wants to turn informer?
That's not very likely, Pyotr Stepanovich rapped out dryly. What does he mean by a telegram from the secret police and a pension? It's obviously a hoax.
Yes, yes, Lemke admitted, abashed.
I tell you what, you leave this with me. I can certainly find out for you before I track out the others.
Take it, Lemke assented, though with some hesitation.
Have you shown it to anyone?
Is it likely?
No. Not to Yulia Mikhailovna.
Oh, heaven forbid. And for God's sake, don't you show it her,
Lemke cried in alarm.
She'll be so upset, and will be dreadfully angry with me.
Yes, you'll be the first to catch it. She'd say you brought it on yourself if people like that write to you. I know what women's logic is. Well, goodbye. I dare say I shall bring you the writer in a couple of days or so.
Above all, our compact.